Don't be evil is the famous first line of Google's original code of conduct. What seems today like a quaint relic of the company's early days, when the crayon colors of the Google logo still conveyed the cheerful, idealistic spirit of the enterprise. How long ago that feels. Of course, it would be unfair to accuse Google of being actively evil. But evil is as evil does. And some of the things that Google and other big tech firms have done in recent years have not been very nice. When Larry Page and Sergey Brin first dreamed up the idea for Google as Stanford graduate students, they probably didn't imagine that the shiny apple of knowledge that was their search engine would ever get anyone expelled from paradise, as many Google executives have been over a variety of scandals in recent years. Nor could they have predicted the many embarrassments that would emanate from the Googleplex. Google doctoring its algorithms in ways that would deep-six rivals off the crucial first page of its search results. Google's YouTube hosting instructional videos on how to build a bomb. Google selling ads to Russian agents, granting them the use of the platform to spread misinformation and manipulate the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Google working on a potential search engine for China, one that would be compliant with the regime's efforts to censor unwelcome results. Former Google CEO Eric Schmidt leaving his position as executive chairman of Google's parent company, Alphabet, a few months after the New York Times revealed he'd been unduly influencing antitrust policy work at a think tank that both his family foundation and Google itself supported, going so far as to push for the firing of a policy analyst who dared to speculate about whether Google might be engaging in anti-competitive practices, something that Schmidt has denied. In May 2019, Schmidt announced he would be stepping down from the Alphabet board as well. All of this may not exactly be evil, but it certainly is worrisome. Google's true sin, like that of many Silicon Valley behemoths, may simply be hubris. The company's top brass always wanted it to be big enough to set its own rules, and that has been its downfall, just as it has been for so many big tech firms. But this is not a book about Google alone. It is a book about how today's most powerful companies are bifurcating our economy, corrupting our political process, and fogging our minds. While Google will often stand as the poster child for the industry more generally, this book will also cover the other four fangs: Facebook, Apple, Amazon, and Netflix, as well as a number of additional platform giants like Uber that have come to dominate their respective spaces in the technology industry. I'll also touch on the ways that a variety of older companies, from IBM to GM, are evolving in response to these new challengers. And I will look at the rise of a new generation of Chinese tech giants that is going where even the fangs don't dare. While there are plenty of companies both in Silicon Valley and elsewhere that illustrate the upsides and the downsides of digital transformation, the big technology platform firms have been the chief beneficiaries of the epic digital transformation we're undergoing. They have replaced the industrialism of the 19th and 20th centuries with the information-based economy that has come to define the 21st.